Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board as we face the issues. Looking forward to the journey. Today, as we face the issue, we'll be talking about we live in a constant state of emergency. We live in a constant state of emergency. You know, baby formula is out. Food is short. Fuel is high. COVID is coming back. Monkeypox is going to take the whole world. It appears to me that we're living in a total state of a constant emergency scenario. There's a plan behind that. There's a motive behind it. There's an intent behind it. And the sooner we get a grasp of that, the better we'll be, I believe, as conservatives and patriots and Christians in particular, because we're on the fast track today toward another lockdown and mask mandate emergency in America. There's so many things taking place today that it's hard for an individual to get a grasp on any single aspect of it and put it into perspective to understand what's really happening. Someone said it's like trying to drink water out of a fire hose. That's how fast we're seeing the changes in America and, yes, around the globe. But, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God that ought to be the modus operandi for our lives. It should be the pattern that we use. It ought to be, according to Psalms 119, verse 105, it should be the lamp unto our feet, the light unto our pathway. That should be the way we use and view the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I call it the truth book. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32, said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further, the declaratory statement is made in John 17:17, says, "Thy word is truth." It's the truth of the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen. The Word of God is true. In fact, in Psalms 117, verse 2, it says the truth of the Lord endures forever. We need to understand that. Yet we live in a vacillating, fluctuating state of emergency society today where everything is always changing, always changing. There seems to be, in the society in which we're living today, there seems to be no real fundamental foundation of anything that a person can hold on to. This is the reason it is so needful for us to recognize the truth of the Word of God. It is the only thing that will sustain us throughout life and eternity. It is truth that is despised, rejected by society today. In fact, it was George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." We find that to be true, if I can use that. We find that to be true today. The more a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. If you don't believe that, just try to read an article online that is in any way negative about the COVID vaccination. Read an article online that is in any way negative about the Biden administration or about the 2020 election, and try to transmit that to someone else. And you will see very rapidly that it is blocked, prevented, that you cannot communicate. It's because big tech today is an arm of the federal government to control our speech and our freedoms that we have, the freedom of speech, the freedom of religion, the other freedoms that we have, ladies and gentlemen, are being foreclosed on, and they're foreclosed on by the use of emergency status. We're in a state of emergency constantly in America, from one emergency to the next, in order to control the freedoms that we have in our great nation. This is the reason I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus said, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death." And ladies and gentlemen, that's my high recommendation for each of our listeners each and every day on this broadcast. We need to seek the truth, and let me remind you, if you've not caught it before, you'll not find truth on the Communist Network News. You'll not hear truth on any of the daily radio or television broadcasts, generally speaking, when it comes to the truth about the news of what's happening locally, statewide, or nationally, or internationally. We're being deceived by the what I call Pravda Press today. It's the same controlled, governmentally controlled press that you have in Russia that's called Pravda News. We have that today that is alive and well in our great nation. It is to prevent us from knowing the real truth of what is taking place, because if we understand the truth of what is happening, we're not nearly as frightened and fearful and do not live on the edge of a state national emergency day by day. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with a full line of Honda generators. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. Tools for Time's knowledgeable staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291, Old St. Augustine Road. That's found right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a benchmark 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. At the base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. Ladies and gentlemen, there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly environment. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the Tools for Time staff to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word intended for every Christian. Ladies and gentlemen, drop by Tools for Time. Make an application for employment. Wait for an interview. See what God does in placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, right after a brief monologue, we invite your calls. This show is based on a Q&A format. It is based on the presentation of information, the lines being open, allowing you to call in, ask your question, join in the dialogue and the discussion on the issue of the day. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. If you're tuned in by way of the internet, the area code is 904-831-0917. We'd love to entertain your question, your comment, dialogue, and discussion about the issues. Ladies and gentlemen, our nation politically is faced with some major torrential upheavals. Ladies and gentlemen, the so-called political leaders today, they've discovered that they can control we the people just by having a nationwide so-called emergency, health emergency. Yes, today, ladies and gentlemen, indeed, COVID pandemic, or as it really was, should properly be called a plandemic, gave D.C., those in the beltway of D.C., a perfect pattern. Hear me. The COVID emergency and the state of emergency we've lived under for two and a half years now provided the leadership, if I can use that term, within the beltway of D.C., it provided them with a perfect pattern to control every movement, every motion, every action, and every communication of America. It was the tool, ladies and gentlemen, that was used by our Socialist, Marxist, BLM, Communist, Democratic Party to utilize that control on controlling where we go, what we do, what we say, who we communicate with. Big tech today is an arm of the federal government. It is being used by the federal government to control what we say in our communication. And I've said now for the past year that the closer we get to the 2022 election, which is November, just a few months away now, the closer we get to that, the more we're going to find our free speech is totally, will be totally, totally, may I say again, totally controlled. I read an average of perhaps 100+ articles a day. Much of it is online news. And ladies and gentlemen, a lot of that I forward to others that I think would be interested in and would be benefited by the news. About 6 out of 10 of those are blocked. About 6 out of 10. What multitudes of you perhaps do not understand, if you have Instagram, if you have Twitter, if you have Facebook, if you're using any of the other social media platforms, they're all being monitored and watched, and a control of what we the people say in communication with others. We're being totally controlled as citizens today. Now, you might get up of a morning, get in your automobile, if you've got gas in it, and drive to work, carry out your responsibilities for the day, and come home. You may not notice it as much, but ladies and gentlemen, that's what the purpose is behind the control, is so that it is done over a period of time that you do not realize how much of the freedoms we have lost as American citizens today. Ladies and gentlemen, we the people have become the puppets for the socialist Marxist democratic agenda. You'll recall Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx, the two movers and shakers that whispered in the ear of President Donald J. Trump and told President Trump that I believe the number was something like 3.2 million Americans would die unless we instituted the lockdown. President Trump, basically, after Dr. Birx and Dr. Fauci had introduced that thought, decided the wise thing to do would be shut America down. You recall, we're going to shut it down for 15 days to, quote, flatten the curve. Well, the curve never got flattened. The intent was never for 15 days. It was simply the introduction of the lockdown and control and forcing submission to see if it would work. Now, let's just do a little throwback. What if when that was suggested, or when it was stated or mandated, however you perceive it, by the federal government, what if we the people had said, no, I'm not closing my business. I'm not closing our church. We're not locking down. We're not going to put a mask on. We're not going to sequester in our homes as frightened people. What if we'd done that? I believe we would be seeing today a major, mega difference in societal makeup and what America looks like had we done that then. But ladies and gentlemen, that's my mother used to call it spilt milk. You can't put the milk back in the bottle, as her mantra used to be in the statement about that. You'll recall Dr. Birx and Dr. Fauci when they recently admitted they lied. Dr. Fauci, I believe, told enough lies he could get the Pinocchio of the Year. For the biggest liar. Dr. Fauci has lied from the very beginning. He's flip-flopped on every issue that he said was scientific data. And now recently he's just admitted that the science changes so often and the data changes so often. And yet at the same time, Dr. Deborah Birx, ladies and gentlemen, has published a book where she admits that she manipulated the data, she lied about the data, and she changed the data, the quote so-called scientific data. She changed it so that there would be the outcome that was desired by Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx for holding America hostage by changing that data. She admitted that she altered the data. Ladies and gentlemen, I find it egregious. I'm looking at the article that says Dr. Deborah Birx admits that she deceived President Trump in order to push the COVID measures. Dr. Deborah Birx, who served as the White House Coronavirus Response Coordinator under President Donald J. Trump, has admitted in a new book that she manipulated data and quietly altered the CDC guidelines without any authorization. quote, in The Silent Invasion, that's the title of the book, she confesses that she deceived and had a deceptive strategy, and the sleight of hand method of reporting that she described as such subterfuge. Burks opposed the advice of then coronavirus advisor Dr. Scott Atlas. In fact, they maligned Dr. Atlas. They maligned his reputation. They laughed at his statement when Dr. Atlas was warning that the data was not correct, warning that it was deceptive, warning that it was not correct. But this article says Dr. Burks opposed the advice of then coronavirus advisor Dr. Scott Atlas to limit testing on the premise that asymptomatic transmission was minimal and not deriving, not driving the pandemic. She and then CDC Director Robert Redfield agreed to quietly rewrite the guidelines and to post it on the CDC website that was absolutely fabrication of the truth. Quote, we would not seek approval from anyone because we were both quite busy. It might take a week or two to get approval, but we were committed to subverting the dangerous message that limiting testing was the right thing to do, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know whether that bothers you or not. I don't know whether you questioned that or not. I don't know whether that is a serious implication to you as to where we'll go in the future. If that was done then, and it's now being openly admitted in her book, and yet there's no prosecutorial movement underway for lying and deceiving that caused America to lose hundreds of billions of dollars in revenue as a result of forced shutdown, and because several hundred thousand have died in America because of the COVID vaccination, and a total of several million that are now disabled and or will have disabilities and debilities resulting from the COVID vaccination. I don't know what frightens you or what would bother you if that doesn't. Ladies and gentlemen, today there's a move, hear me, there's a move today to reignite the COVID fear. We're being told that by the fall, there'll be other strains of COVID that are going to be more virulent than the previous ones, and it's going to require lockdowns, mask mandates, etc. Several states, ladies and gentlemen, school has just started back. And it's a frightening scene to see as I watched on the morning news on television, where I believe it's in the state of Georgia, the filming took place. Schools started back, and teachers lined up with their mask on. Teachers lined up at the doors to make sure that kids coming into school have a mask over their face. And yet there's a factor that's being ignored by the so-called professionals, and that is the factor that 146 studies have been made internationally that prove that masks have no value whatsoever. Does not stop the reception of any disease, does not stop the promulgation or the passing on of any pathogen to others. It is worthless, ladies and gentlemen, other than to deteriorate your oxygen level and harm you physically as a result of wearing the mask. But today, there's a move to frighten America into a future. Hear me. There's a move today to frighten Americans into a lockdown and into a mask mandate, and under the thumb of the federal government to bring about submission that will try to defraud Americans out of the 2022 election. Now, that's the thing that's on the horizon. That's the very thing that is on the top of the agenda for the Biden administration. Ladies and gentlemen, we're looking at what they're calling also monkeypox. Perhaps you've read some about it. It originated on the continent of Africa. It originated as a result of sodomite men having sex with other men. It is the result of a lifestyle, a immoral, ungodly, unholy lifestyle that's bringing about monkeypox. But ladies and gentlemen, even though that is true, and even though that is in small pockets around the globe, it has now been announced by the World Health Organization with Dr. Tedros. Dr. Tedros, not a medical doctor. Dr. Tedros, a pawn, P-A-W-N, a pawn for China. Dr. Tedros has just announced a global health emergency. A global health emergency. What does that mean to the citizens in America? It means that now with the announcement by World Health Organization of a global health emergency, that the government in America, through Biden administration and his underlings, can immediately declare, because the World Health Organization says it's a global health emergency, that we can announce a health emergency in America and then start instituting the lockdowns and the mask mandates and the forced mail-in ballots for the election in November. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today, we live in a constant state of emergency. We're living in a constant state of emergency. I don't know about you, but I can recall just a few years ago when there seemed to be, as people say, everything seemed to be copacetic. There didn't seem to be any national or international emergencies. There didn't seem to be any cause for alarm or fear on the part of Americans. But that's totally changed in the past 2 years. It set the stage through the COVID pandemic. It has set the stage for the federal government to step in at any moment and give an order for lockdown and to submit. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll never repair the damages done to our economy. In fact, part of the economic downturn today, part of the economic factor that is going to be one of the major emergencies that we're faced with, and part and parcel of what is taking place today, is as a result of the COVID lockdowns. And it was planned, it was purposeful to bring about the global reset. It was planned and purposeful in order to crush the capitalistic system. It was planned and purposeful in order to destroy the Constitutional Republic and to stand up a socialist, Marxist, BLM, communist dictatorship form of government in America. I have the documents to validate what I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen. We live in a state of emergency, a constant state of emergency. We're being manipulated, we the people, being manipulated into simply submitting to any demand of so-called emergency by the federal government. Monkeypox is on the horizon today. It is another plandemic for America and the whole world. Monkeypox, something that is transmitted by the sodomites. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, there are few cases in many nations around the globe, including America. Yet the World Health Organization is now calling for a global health emergency. This means that the Biden administration plans to reinstitute the mask mandates, the lockdowns, and the further expansion of big tech restrictions on our free speech and our movement. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, to give you a good understanding and idea of what I'm saying with that, today, the federal government, through the Post Office Department, has already put into place a mechanism for collecting mail-in ballots. I'm looking at an article that should be a good red flag for any constitutionalist, for any Republican that has a conservative backbone. It says U.S. Postal Service makes announcements on the mail-in ballots ahead of the midterm elections. Dateline July 31st, 2022. U.S. Post Office, USPS, confirmed it has created a division that will oversee all mail-in ballots in future elections. The woman that is responsible, Adrena Marshall, executive director of the newly created election and governmental another department, ladies and gentlemen, newly created election and governmental mail-in services, said that it will oversee election mail strike team. Election mail strike teams, end quote, in all communities to deal with the any possible problem in mail-in ballots. Quote, we are fully committed to secure and timely deliver the nation's mail-in election ballots, she said to media outlets. Several months ago, the Biden administration requested and received $5 billion to support the U.S. Postal Service's mail-in voter operations over the next few years. The article goes further and says, former President Donald J. Trump and some Republicans have said that mail-in ballots invite fraud and are totally unreliable. In 2005, former Democrat President Jimmy Carter and former White House Chief of Staff James Baker released a report on the PDF form that found mail-in ballots and absentee ballots remain the largest source of potential voter fraud in America. while adding that vote buying schemes are far more difficult to detect when citizens vote by mail, end quote. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, we're doing something that will perpetuate that mail-in ballot fraud that stole the election for 2020. Another one of the emergencies, state of emergency that we need to be under in order to steal an election. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you my position. If we were not in an election year, if election, midterm elections were not in November, I don't think we'd be seeing a global health emergency announced by Dr. Tedros of World Health Organization. I don't think there'd be anything talked about mail-in ballot strike team with the U.S. Post Office that's going to make sure that your ballots and our ballots are all protected by the U.S. Post Office. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a fraudulent statement. It is to set us in a position of being controlled by a constant state of emergency. Surely, ladies and gentlemen, the United States Post Office will prevent voter fraud. You know they will. That's their task. That's their job. They're going to make sure that those ballots get to the right place and not dropped off at a garbage dump someplace. They're going to make sure that those ballots get there overnight rather than waiting 30 days later to deliver them. They're going to make sure, ladies and gentlemen, with the new postal strike team for the ballots, they're going to make sure integrity is put back in the voting system. It's already planned before the November election, ladies and gentlemen, that we'll have a national health emergency to control the vote and steal the vote this year, steal the vote this election cycle. In fact, I'm looking at an article. David Horowitz says this: friends, the left's COVID hysteria is back in full force, and I don't think it's coincidence. I'm reading from David Horowitz, July the 31st. Newsletter. They loosened their restrictions across the country over the summer, and the writing's on the wall. They're gearing up for another winter of severe illness and sure death. Not because COVID will be life-threatening for most Americans, or because they care about our health at all, but for two reasons. Listen to the two reasons. David Horowitz says that we're headed for another national emergency, a COVID-threatened death and life scenario. Number one, they want us conditioned to surrender our rights and our way of life at a moment's notice for any so-called emergency that they may declare. Number two, they want to discourage in-person voting and promote mail-in ballot voting and make fraud as easy as possible ahead of the midterm elections, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, I couldn't have said it any more succinctly than David Horowitz just stated. But for two reasons, let me read those two reasons again. We're headed for another lockdown, I call it, another national emergency, another state of emergency, and they're going to do so through monkeypox and a new viral type of COVID that they've already said is sure to happen, sure to take place by wintertime. Number one, Harwood says, they want us conditioned to surrender our rights and our way of life at a moment's notice under a so-called emergency declaration. And they want to discourage in-person voting, promote mail-in ballots, and make fraud as easy as possible ahead of the midterm elections, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's precisely what we see taking place today. They're preparing us, getting us ready to submit again to forced lockdowns, to forced mask mandates, and to forced mail-in ballots in order to steal the election. You remember Joe Biden said prior to the 2020 election, when in one of his inept moments, he said that the Democrats had prepared a major, major, major fraud to steal the election in 2020. And that they did. We're headed for the same thing. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We're going to continue to talk about what we see taking place with a continual state of emergency and where it's headed and why. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back, right after the top of the hour news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.